College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Sherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia. Free speech lives here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Tuesday, March 12th. It is indeed Kale and Company. You're right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Always live on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube. As we head until 10 o'clock this morning, 855-839-1210, the phone number. On social media at 1210 WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Don Stenslin with the news. Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board. Phil Omquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. Oh, do we have a lot to delve into today? All sorts of big, juicy topics. Don, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Looked out of a restaurant window last night at 7:15. I said, wow, blue skies and the sun.
Woohoo.
What a concept at 7:15 in the evening. Gregory, how are you?
I'm just watching some of this video of Tucker Carlson and Chris Cuomo.
I didn't have that on my 2024 bingo card.
And I got to say, everybody's being worked. It's all a giant work. The entire industry is one giant work. They're sitting here giggling. Why did you hate me? Well, you know, it was just something. Why did you? Well, you know, some of it was true. Other was just it. Oh, God.
You nauseating. Attacked my brother.
These two are nauseating. And anybody who falls for this, and this guy said this, and this guy said that, stop. You're being worked.
Cuomo's jacked, by the way. Did you see how ripped that dude is?
They're all grifters and liars, and I hate them all. Thank you.
You picked a hell of
good
an
morning.
You picked a hell of an industry to be a brand manager for.
Well, not you guys. No, I'm talking about these people. I know Dawn believes every crazy thing she does.
Dawn, your rebuttal, ma'am. Could be one of those programs, folks.
I do. But beware the woman who believes crazy things.
Yeah, it's true. Yes. Exactly.
Oh,
602.
Man. Yeah. Yes.
Words of wisdom.
It's going to be a wild one today, folks.
It is. Big take this morning. That could have been the big take yesterday, but there was so much with Joe and Trump that I saved this for today. The fallout from International Women's Day on Friday, which I thought took a wrong turn. But that's okay, because March is Women's History Month. So we will talk about that in the big take this morning. Also, I'll tell you what, this TikTok story is not going away. It is very fascinating. There is many updates to this as we get closer and closer to Congress getting ready to act on it. We'll get to that this morning. Deadspin says bye-bye. Very good story. I'm going to actually dance on a grave this morning. Something I normally don't do.
Oh, no.
But every now and then you run across an organization or a writer and you just say, you know what? That cockroach deserves what he got.
Just be careful. Just be careful. I know where you're going here. I'm not going to give it away, but just be careful about dancing on industries that might go away. That's all I'm saying,
pal. Be careful
pal.
What you wish for.
Thank you, Don Stenslin. Thank you. Just be careful about how much you want to take glee in other people's losing their jobs. That's all I can say.
Criminal justice reform. We'll get to that story this morning. Shocking, less than 4 years later, all of a sudden big cities are reversing course on their softening on crime policies. You know, the market always has a way of correcting itself. We'll get to all of that. We have the cut sheet as well. And it's a busy day of news. And for that, we go to the great Dawn Stenslin, round number one at 6:04.
And good morning, Kale and Company News Live. 41 degrees, clear skies this morning, and we are in for some spring-like weather beginning today. We're heating up to 66 degrees this morning. We do have a developing story with a fire in North Philadelphia that firefighters have been battling overnight with at least five people injured. We're following that for you. And as well, a break in the case involving the student shot last week. Two suspects arrested in connection to last week's shooting at a school bus stop, which is also a SEPTA bus stop in Philadelphia, in the Burholm section of Philadelphia, the Northeast, injuring those eight teenagers, one who remains in critical condition this morning. Those suspects ID'd as 18-year-old Jamal Tucker. He actually turned himself in over the weekend. It looks like late Friday he turned himself in because apparently authorities say that he knew that they were coming for him. The other suspect, another teenager, 18-year-old Anil Bugs, taken into custody by U.S. Marshals over the weekend. We didn't learn about this until a news conference that happened yesterday afternoon, but we're getting some of the details. And in those details, police say that they have confiscated the weapons, including a fully loaded 40 caliber Glock 22 pistol with an extended magazine that was recovered. One of the Glocks also had laser sights and a Glock switch. That means that it would be like a bump switch. It would be turned from a semi-automatic into, and I'm quoting the officer here, much like a fully automatic machine gun.
Wow.
Yeah,
I saw Keeley tweeted out the video of the kid from Saturday being brought out by U.S. Marshals. Not only was he handcuffed, he was shackled at his ankles. Looked like he had those Croc flip-flop things on. Looked like they probably got him very early in the morning when he was probably asleep.
Yeah. 18.
Yep.
So police say they were able to match the guns to the shell casings. Remember, we got that new, we did receive more funding for the gun lab, the crime lab. And from what I hear from law enforcement, that has been a game changer in, you know, more quickly solving some of these crimes. So a lot of lab work, a lot of science went into this as well to connect all of those dots. They're still looking for two others. So these two now, 18, facing aggravated assault, weapons offenses, a lot of other charges. They're being held on more than $2 million bail. But now there is a search for two other suspects in this case that continues. And they put out the word yesterday during this news conference, we know who you are, just turn yourselves in. And that's the word from police,
mm-hmm,
asking the public, saying anybody who helps the two who they're still looking for, then you would be an accomplice. So you face charges as well. As far as those injured students between the ages of 15 to 17, and as I said at the top, that one 16-year-old boy shot some nine times, who appeared to be the target, obviously. He remains in very critical condition this morning. They've been able to stabilize the conditions of the other students who did not, according to authorities, appear to be the target. Unfortunately, they were standing on that bus stop.
Yeah. And the alternating grief counseling continues today, I think.
Yeah. So the juniors and seniors at Northeast High School there, yesterday and today are their days getting that much needed counseling. And then it switches. They'll stay home and do virtual. And then Wednesday, Thursday, looks like the 9th and 10th graders, they will go.
Okay.
So we have that going on. I know there's a lot of political news, but I'm running long here just because that one, there were so many details to it. We're still following it. I just have to go to some good news that I think all of us in Philadelphia are celebrating, and that is because Saquon Barkley, running back, we got him, and Philadelphia is doing a collective cheer. So former New York Giant, but most importantly, we are Penn State. So reached a deal reportedly with the Eagles.
Lehigh Valley kid, by the way.
Yeah.
Whitehall, Pennsylvania, baby.
I saw.
Do you guys want to take an over-under on how many games he'll play this season?
We should stop.
12 and a half.
No, I believe.
Nine.
He's very injury-prone, guys.
Nine.
I'm just warning you.
Nine.
But this means bye-bye to Mr. Swift from St. Joseph's Prep. He went, I think, to the Bears in free agency.
Ruh-roh.
But he's gone.
Aww.
Yeah, I saw people. I was excited for it because I think when Barkley is healthy, he's electric. And everyone's like, oh, so we're just not going to address our defense? I guess we're going to give up 50 points a game? Nobody's ever happy. How many holes do you expect to fill in one day?
But the thing is, all the Giants fans who secretly cried that they lost and were like, oh, yeah, good luck with that. He'll play nine games. But he'll play. Look, he's he's dynamite.
Yes. When he's healthy, he's very, very good.
Tiki Barber, former Giant, who's now does afternoons on WFAN, said that Saquon Barkley is dead to him.
Yeah.
Because he went to the Eagles.
They've never had a good relationship, apparently.
Yeah.
And they had like a legit beef. Mm. Barkley always felt like Tiki Barber was attacking him.
Yep.
We have a lot of Boeing news. A whistleblower, John Barnett, was found dead. We have a lot of Boeing news. We also have Pete Buttigieg here in Philadelphia.
Mayor Pete!
Yes, he's going to be in Philadelphia today. And Boeing facing multiple government investigations, company needing to make a serious transformation around its safety and manufacturing quality. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said, speaking out, I don't believe he's here necessarily for Boeing. I think he's here to take a victory lap for a lot of the huge federal dollars that we're getting, especially that project that will reconnect Chinatown over the Vine Street Expressway. But a lot going on today. So with that, this is Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:11 on this Tuesday morning. Let's get to another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, the Big Take this morning is brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group. International Women's Day takes a wrong turn. Last Friday was International Women's Day, and had it not have been for a slew of news over the weekend surrounding Joe Biden and Donald Trump in swing states like Pennsylvania and Georgia, this would have been yesterday's Big Take for me. But what started out as International Women's Day turned into International Female Injustice Day from the usual suspects in the media. What biological females have to endure after all the advancements and progress they've made, in my eyes, is unacceptable. All because people have to factor in feelings over facts and play make-believe with a select few that are suffering what I believe is a mental health breakdown and crisis. And what makes it even more egregious is that March is Women's History Month, no less. But that doesn't matter. On Thursday night, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson invited Riley Gaines to the State of the Union. And on Friday, Riley Gaines was a guest of the Joe Rogan podcast, and she had this to say about her unwavering passion and the fight that she continues to wage to save women's sports. Listen and watch this.
What was your first introduction to this insanity of biological men with gender dysphoria trying to compete with women?
Finals of the 100 freestyle. Top 8 women in the entire nation. And you've got a 6'4" man in a women's swimsuit with a bulge next to a woman wearing only a Speedo. Your reaction was my reaction. I'm thinking to myself, it's me. I'm the crazy one. It must be. This is the freaking Twilight Zone.
And through this, is there anyone countering that?
We were told, you'll never get a job if you speak out about this. Your employer is going to look you up and see that you're a transphobe.
Was this a conversation that someone actually had with you?
Yeah. I mean, we had to go to training. They brought in an outside professional who sat us down and taught us how to use she, her pronouns.
You. An actual she-her.
An actual she-her.
How do you use she-her pronouns?
We had to go through these interview questions. They'd throw a question at us. If we didn't answer their fake interview question to their standard, we had to go through it again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Indoctrination. If you're on that team, you're a woman, and you have a biological male walking around naked in the locker room with women, and if you're uncomfortable with that, you should educate yourself.
You
said
it.
And learn how to use she-her pronouns and accept defeat to this person that's not a woman. And the whole world's like, yay, diversity. And you must feel like you're in a movie or something.
Did you listen to that absurdity? This is going on in real life in real time. You are wrong for believing in biology. So the left wingers have established that it's wrong to be a biological female and speak up about biological men pretending to be female and coming into women's athletics. But it doesn't stop there. On Friday, USA Today sports columnist Lindsay Schnell wrote a column titled Women's Basketball Needs Faces of the Future to be Black. Enter Juju Watkins and Hannah Hidalgo. That's a real headline on USAtoday.com. All because, in my opinion, left-wing sports media has lost their mind because Iowa's Caitlin Clark is a heterosexual biological female who happens to be white. I would ask Lindsay Schnell this question. Why does the face of women's basketball, or any sport for that matter, have to be of any race, ethnicity, or sexual orientation? Greatness is greatness. Why can't we appreciate greatness without viewing it through a certain lens or a certain prism? This is exactly why I stopped subscribing to papers like the USA Today years ago. FYI, of course, Lindsay Schnell, who wrote the column, is a white female. She actually goes on to write the following in her column. Quote, with Caitlin Clark headed to the 2024 WNBA draft, where she's projected to be the first overall pick, the nation's second leading scorer behind Clark is Watkins, and she is positioned to become the face of women's basketball. She'll be joined by Notre Dame point guard Hannah Hidalgo, the other favorite for freshman of the year. Not lost on any of the power brokers in the game, both of these players are black. And in a game built by black women, it matters that the faces of the future look like the faces of the past, end quote. So by Lindsay Schnell's logic, Tiger Woods is the greatest icon in golf history. But because golf was built by overwhelmingly white men, it's best that the new face of golf in the future be white, not black and Asian like Tiger Woods is. Could you imagine if she wrote that column? More golfers like Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer because they're white men. She'd be fired immediately. The story would never be published and wouldn't get past the editor's desk. The obsession of cosmetics in 2024 is insane. She's actually arguing against diversity. So we want diversity when it fits the agenda and the narrative. But in women's basketball, we got to get back to the way it used to be. Okay, I got you. But see, reverse racism in women's athletics is permissible because it comes from the virtue signaling white woke liberal female writer. But maybe help is on the way. In 2023, just a year ago at this time for International Women's Day, Hannah Storm, longtime Emmy award-winning anchor for NBC and ESPN, penned an essay for Women's History Month, and she included Leah Thomas of the University of Pennsylvania in her tribute. Leah is the male who, at Penn, decided to compete as a female and take Riley Gaines' place in history. Listen and watch this clip from 1 year ago.
In 2022, swimmer Leah Thomas became the first transgender athlete to win an NCAA Division I championship by winning the 500 freestyle. The Texas native competed for three seasons on the men's swim team at the University of Pennsylvania. She began her transition after her sophomore season and after a gap year due to the pandemic that forced the Ivy League to cancel all sports. Thomas made her debut as a member of the women's team in December 2021.
Being trans is not a choice. I didn't have any other choice because not transitioning was not leading me anywhere.
She competed amidst criticism from the swimming community, competitors, and teammates. She said she hopes her persistence serves a larger purpose.
People will say, oh, she just transitioned, so she would have an advantage, so she could win. I transitioned to be happy.
Yeah, so courageous for dudes to dunk on women in women's sports. But this year, no mention of Leah Thomas or any biological male pretending to be a female. Maybe ESPN has realized that an overwhelming majority of Americans reject this school of thought. Here's an excerpt of Hannah Storm's 2024 essay for the month of March and Women's History Month. Listen and watch this, which just came out this weekend.
On this International Women's Day, we celebrate all that it means to be a woman. A woman is undeterred, confident, fearless, persistent, powerful, tenacious, tough, graceful, unapologetic.
And Angel Reese knows a ring is coming.
A woman can be enduring, precocious, competitive, a fighter, a pioneer, an influencer, a sensation, an inspiration.
It's gonna be De Bruyne from Switzerland.
Well done.
A woman achieves the Ballon d'Or, the MVP, the trophy, the title, the world record.
And not a dude with a bulge in a bathing suit or a tuck job. Interesting pivot by ESPN just 1 year later, don't you think? And how about this for having a backbone in 2024? Women's Professional Golf Tour has just banned transgender golfer Haley Davidson with changes to its gender policy. In a win for female athletes, NXXT Golf, a women's professional tour, has announced just recently that all competitors must be a biological female at birth to participate. This means that transgender golfer Haley Davidson, a three-time winner on their tour, is no longer eligible to play. A victory for female athletics and biological women. Good luck against the guys, Haley. And kudos to the CEO of NXXT, Stuart McKinnon, who issued this statement, quote, "As we navigate through the evolving landscape of sports, it is crucial to uphold the competitive integrity that is the cornerstone of women's sports." Well said. He's not misgendering Haley Davidson. Haley Davidson misgendered himself, and the CEO refused to play along anymore. See, we need more of this in March for Women's History Month. More of this in 2024, and more of this for the foreseeable future as we restore sanity to a world that obviously has lost it. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, Big Take this morning brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group at Piazza Honda of Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, and Springfield. You can get financing as low as 2.9% for 36 months on select new models, including the 2024 Accord, Civic, and HR-V, only for a limited time. Shop PiazzaHonda.com today. You can jump in 855-839-1210. On social media at 1210 WPHT, and of course in the Kale & Company comment community, just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll come back, get thoughts on this, and then we'll delve into the latest update for TikTok. There is just so many breaking elements to this story that we'll try to make sense of as we continue here in the 6 o'clock hour. It's Kale & Company on this Tuesday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale & Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. Cut Sheet's going to be absolutely loaded for a second straight day. That's coming up in just about an hour and 15 minutes. Snickers fires back at the big guy, claiming shrinkflation's not a thing with our company. We'll get to that. Criminal justice reform, Deadspin, and TikTok all still on the way this morning. But before we do get to the TikTok story, I'd be remiss if I did not bring in the great Dawn Stenzlin for a thought here because, well, it is her month, and last Friday was her day. You know, Dawn, I just forget Riley Gaines for a moment, forget the trans competition. You know, of all the stuff that I kind of highlighted in the world of females from Friday and this past weekend, maybe the one that outrages me the most is the USA Today. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm some college basketball expert. I could probably name seven college basketball players in my lifetime that I can recall off the top of my head. But it just feels to me, from a media coverage standpoint, when you think about Caitlin Clark at Iowa, there's just so many people that are writing these columns and having these opinions on TV and all of these talking heads always looking for an out to get away from the fact that they just can't seem to understand that there's just greatness before us. Imagine writing a column saying, you know, we need to go back to the faces of the past. And if the faces of the past were white, do you think that writer would have the temerity to write that column? But no, this columnist for the USA Today says, you know, with Caitlin Clark leaving the game, it's time to return college basketball to where it belongs, founded by black women. I don't know. If we flipped the races around, I think we would have a lot of people losing their minds in the media on a Monday morning.
Yeah, you know, number one, I simply think that for whatever reason, we want to focus on, we've gotten worse, not better. We took three steps forward and two steps back. In other words, I think of Dr. Martin Luther King saying, dreaming of the day when we could be judged only by the content of our character and mm-hmm. focusing on that.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think about that and how that standard applies to today. in which it's all about checking the box and narrowing your focus as to what you're defined as.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of saying, hey, you know, isn't this individual amazing and they're talented and they're wonderful? And so isn't it then worse for women? You know, Saquon Barkley, when we celebrated him earlier this morning, and I did not do that on purpose ahead of your big take, but we never said, hey, check the boxes of Saquon. Hey, mm-hmm. What is his gender? What are his pronouns? What ethnicity? Nobody mentioned any of that, did they? Nobody.
Right. No. Can he run the ball? And oh, by the way, he's a local guy.
He's fit. Yeah.
There's your story.
He's local. He's awesome. Everybody's excited.
Right.
Nobody's defining him in these narrow ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so by doing that, in particular to women or minorities, or anybody, what you're doing is you're boxing them in.
Yep.
You're limiting them.
That's correct. We are going from kind of the broad scope and a 30,000 foot view, and we're narrowing down and we're crunching in and we're putting you into one specific aisle, one specific column, right?
Yeah.
And it's so infuriating. And it's just, I figured I would bring that up today. I would have led with that on yesterday's show if we didn't have so much from Joe and Trump over the weekend with rallies and speeches and gaffes and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, we're coming off of International Women's Day on Friday. And obviously this is your month, you know,
yes.
February's Black History Month. March is Women's Month. June is Pride Month. Everybody gets a month.
All I want to, well, except white dudes.
Yeah, straight white cis men. We don't get anything.
You get every day.
Like, we're persona non grata anymore, you know, in this world of identity politics. Yeah, we're like the boogeyman.
But I still say Pistol Pete Maravich deserves, you know, anybody who, quote unquote, beats his record, there should be a little asterisk there.
You're really going down with that ship,
huh? I'm going. Because I got to be consistent here.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the best, you're the best. And just because a woman did this or somebody did, no.
All right.
Pistol Pete.
Fair enough.
Is the man.
855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. So let's get to this TikTok story that continues to gain momentum here. And I find it fascinating. And I was thinking about this, and there's this new column out from Politico. I'm going to read you a little bit of this. But I just want you to highlight and think about everything under the TikTok umbrella that we're kind of zeroing in on here. So we've got the concept of a ban. We have the concept here of free speech. We have the concept of national security and a communist nation spying on us. In a bizarre world, we have Democrats that use it very well, right? The TikTok app, Democrats are very good at it, but yet Biden wants to ban it. And now, in a divided political world where Republicans and Democrats can't really agree on whether or not today's March 12th, we have a bipartisan effort with the House of Representatives moving towards this. Yet on the other side of the ledger, Donald Trump is on Truth Social. He wants to keep TikTok because he doesn't want Meta to gain new users if TikTok is forced to no longer operate in the United States, Meta being Facebook and Instagram. And then I was thinking about this. My girls are on TikTok merely for watching dance videos and then recording themselves to post dance videos of themselves. Our show, in some regards, is not dependent on TikTok, but we like to highlight the libs of TikTok and all of the insanity on that app in the cut sheet at 7:45 and 9:30. And I was also thinking about this as a one social media app kind of guy, Twitter/X being my platform of choice. I don't want everybody leaving TikTok once it's banned and flooding my little playground, so to speak, that has been kind of reestablished under Elon Musk. So you have all of that to think about here. And here's the latest, and this is courtesy of Politico. They go on to say that the social media giant is encouraging its millions of users to flood lawmakers' offices to stop a bill that would eventually ban the video sharing app. We talked about that yesterday. But since then, TikTok is now actually sending out push alerts in waves to users over the age of 18 across the country ever since the weekend, urging them to call their lawmakers to stop the TikTok ban. The latest campaign was sent to smaller groups of users going out over the last several days and is continuing to go out, a TikTok spokesperson told Politico. These recent efforts follow a similar TikTok push alert sent last week on the day that the House Energy and Commerce Committee voted 50-0 to advance this bipartisan bill. In a Sunday statement, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise said TikTok and its alleged ties to the Chinese Communist Party pose, quote, a significant national security threat to the U.S. Quote, since this rushed hearing, we've continued to educate our users about what's happening and this legislation that would ban TikTok, said Alex Horick, a TikTok spokesperson. There are a variety of alerts going out to certain users, with one saying, quote, if the House of Representatives vote to ban TikTok on Wednesday, that vote's coming up tomorrow. So we will certainly talk about that Thursday morning, probably for the big take. The government will take away the community that you and millions of other Americans love. Users can now enter their own zip code to directly call their lawmakers, courtesy of the TikTok app. Yesterday, the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party, whose leaders are Mike Gallagher, Republican from Wisconsin, and Raja Krishnamurti, Democrat from Illinois, authored the TikTok bill, posted on X that TikTok is, quote, still lying to its users and using them to lobby Congress to benefit a foreign adversary, the CCP. So you have Dems, you have Republicans, all in lockstep with this, yet there are some now that are pushing back against the ban. I look at it this way. As a user, I couldn't care less. I don't use the app. I've never been on it. I never will be, unless somehow Stalker makes that some sort of mandate for the station or something like that. But we get some of our content from there. At the end of the day, I don't think bans work. I believe in free speech. But here's where I find myself in a predicament. Free speech versus national security. That's what this comes down to me.
Oh, you with the national security.
If this is a genuine threat.
Lord.
If this is a genuine threat. And I don't know that it is.
Everything's a genuine threat.
I don't know that it is. But it's the only social media app with direct ties to the Communist Chinese Party. And I think about China. They fly spy balloons across our country. They have rogue police precincts in our city. They basically have made America its you-know-what. And to be honest with it about it, I'm kind of sick of it. I would like to just, and I'm not saying we should go to war. I'm not saying we should destroy China. Although, if you want to nuke it and turn it into a giant golf course, that'd be fine by me. I'd play golf to my wrists break. But like, at some point, don't you have to push back against China in some capacity? And if this is the modality to do it, is it that big of a deal? I mean, okay, the other social media platforms are all based in Silicon Valley. That's a different kind of evil. We know what they're capable of over the last 4 years with elections and banning information and the dissemination of stories on social media. But to me, it comes down to free speech. And I don't know that TikTok is necessarily the place where people go to espouse all sorts of speech. Although we do hear these, you know, these trans diatribes, and whether we agree with it or not, it's free speech. They're on there complaining. They're on there saying why they should be this or why they shouldn't be that. So I think it comes down to really two simple elements that every American, and I think everybody listening to this show, cares about: free speech and national security. And national security's in the news because our southern border's wide open. So we're getting it security-wise directly with human beings and also on a technological, intellectual level with big tech and these apps. So I think it's a tough call. I really do.
Nick's not wrong when you say that. Okay, what I hear you saying is thinking about looking at the worldview that we are supposed to be democracy, this bright light in the world. And so when we consider the fact that China will not let its own people see TikTok in the way we see it. They ban their own product.
Yeah, it's only like an educational tool.
That's right. They ban everything that all the stuff we see, they ban. Also, they prohibit everything from Google to Twitter. I don't know if they get DuckDuckGo, but I kind of doubt it.
Yeah.
And so think about it. To the rest of the world, if we ban TikTok, then everybody says, oh, well, look, they're just like the People's Republic of China. They're the same because they're banning everything. On the other side, there are ways, in my humble opinion, there are ways that we could just make it more secure. In other words, if there is a risk that there's one proposal. There are all these different proposals. There's one proposal which also bothers me that they said as far as the servers, all the information has to be stored that they gather has to be stored on U.S. government servers. I'm like, oh, well, great. Yeah. So our own government can take the information. I don't think that's a solution.
Right.
How about you just don't track people to this extensive level? Because TikTok did admit, ByteDance did admit they fired a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that they do gather an extensive amount of information.
Yeah.
That is a fact. So why don't you just make it more secure? Rather than ban it. And this is what it's like. You know what it's like? It's like somebody in the building wears too much body spray. One person.
Yeah.
And so rather than just somebody having the courage to go up to somebody and go, you know what, dude, you smell like a perfume factory. And
Or ma'am, person.
People like run from you in the hall.
Yeah.
Because, wow.
Yeah.
Could you just tone it down?
Rather than do that,
they write broad brush memos and say nobody can wear perfume or cologne in the building because they just don't want to deal with the one laser focused issue.
Right.
That's kind of like this here.
Let me just say this to both of you is that you can take the word TikTok out of it and put guns in there. Guns to some people are a national security threat. So if in the wrong hands, they can be used the same way.
No, I completely disagree. We have hundreds of millions of guns,
and hundreds of millions of people use TikTok.
Mostly in red states. Yes, Greg. However, the issue is what are they gathering? What are they gathering?
What I truly want to know.
Are not gathering anybody's information.
No,
my brother any of my relatives who have all of their guns properly locked up and properly following every law.
I'm just saying these are slippery slopes.
It has nothing to do with the Second Amendment.
I didn't say it did. I'm just saying that you could use that argument for anything.
Nope, you can't.
Absolutely, you can.
Nope.
Guns are a national security threat. Okay, let's ban them.
They're secretly and wrongfully. Look at him. Look at him. Let me see his face. He does this to me at freaking 6:44 in the morning.
He triggered you. No pun intended with the gun
purpose. Comment.
Yeah. But we're talking about information, right? So we get
They're illegally taking your information without you knowing it. And it's
every
extensive.
Company is.
Well, that's my point.
It's all extensive.
Of our, every company is.
In this day and age of this device, all of our information is compromised, right? Debit card information, where our GPS tracking location is, all of that. My question would be, if this is truly a national security threat, this specific app, I want to know real specifics. I want to know true details. How? Well, they're tracking us. They know, okay, and what are they doing with that information? Are they going to harm us? Are they going to steal our identities? Are they going to steal our financial resources? Are they going to take money out of our bank? Like, what specifically causes TikTok to be a national security threat? And if you can convince me and explain it in a way that the common folk understands and can process, then I'd be okay with it. But again, I'm looking at it from the free speech standpoint. As much as I disagree, I don't like deplatforming people. You could say the most ridiculous thing, and most of the stuff that we talk about on this show are stories and topics that I disagree with the viewpoint of. But I'm never going to say we need to deplatform people.
Okay, so wait. So you're saying in the name of the First Amendment, keep TikTok.
Generally speaking, but because yes, and but now here we have the government stepping in, right? We here's the thing. We said in 2020 and 2021 we didn't like it when Twitter didn't show the Hunter Biden story and we got censored. So the whole thing, you look at it from, well, if we don't like being shut down, why should we be advocating for TikTok users to be shut down, right?
Yeah, I mean, just create comprehensive laws that limit the collection and or misuse of Americans' online personal data. And make sure that you don't export it. That's another issue because you're exporting the data, right? But here's my biggest problem with all of this. We're talking about TikTok and personal information. We entrust this company with making basically a ton of our prescription meds. So the all the pills that, you know, your all your grandparents and parents take, that many, many Americans take, that children take. These pills come from this place that we're now saying, oh, they might have my credit card number. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we're in bed with this country.
Right.
I had the figure somewhere that I had looked up in my research about this yesterday because I thought we'd talk more about it. But we owe China a ton of money. Yeah. In other words, they are our banker. We are in debt to them.
That's a good
point. Bought up so much of our debt.
Yeah.
And so why are they incentivized to do anything bad with this? Mm-hmm. So when they say national security, well, if you think that the Communist Party of China is a danger to us, maybe you ought to start with not having them make the pills we swallow every day.
Yeah. Well, now they're buying up farmland in this country. So where we draw the line and where we start to enforce and fight back against that country is up for debate.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders says no.
Yeah, you're right. 855-839-1210, the number. Quick break. We'll come back, wrap up the 6 o'clock hour next. If you want to jump in, you can certainly do so. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
So 66 degrees today. We're in the 70s for the rest of the week. The grass is getting greener. And we're all dreaming of spring. Was out yesterday with my buddy boy. He's 15, you know, and he's doing great. But it's more important than ever for Buddy, more than anybody in my family, that the lawn is safe for him to play on. And that really is one of the many reasons that I'm so proud that we've chosen a lawn care service that provides, better results and is beautiful and lush, but is safer for Buddy Boy, safe for our family and for our pets. And my husband Larry's like, oh, great. She's more worried about the dog's health on the lawn than mine. But come on already. Buddy Boy spends more time in the lawn than any of us. Whether it's you, your kids, your dog, your cat, this is why I choose Natural Lawn of America. That is my lawn care company. And Natural Lawn's environmentally friendly approach to lawn care has been creating green lawns. I'm talking lush, beautiful green lawns more naturally and with fewer weeds since 1987. And this is not some one-size-fits-all company. Their technicians are going to work to determine the specific needs of your lawn. So Natural Lawn's exclusive organic-based products are designed to work with nature, not against it. And that means they're safer for every single member of your family, as I said, even the furriest ones. So kick that chemical lawn habit. Get started today with Natural Lawn's safer products and programs. Take advantage of their limited time offer right now, free seating every year. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program. Get free seating every single year. 800-FREE-SEED, 800-FREESEED, 800-FREE-SEED. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
So much ahead, including the cut sheet in less than 1 hour. We will get to the Deadspin update and also criminal justice reform, as less than 4 years later, we are seeing many blue cities go back to tough on crime, red policies. That's coming up after Dawn's news in the 7 o'clock hour. And also maybe we can throw up a poll question. Phil, if you could put this up maybe in the YouTube chat, something to the effect of whether or not you think TikTok will ultimately end up being banned in America or something to that effect.
It has bipartisan support on this.
I know.
Which is scary, by the way. It's scary. I'm just saying, I do not like this idea at all about banning things. It's a bad precedent to set.
Yeah, well, to Craig's point, I want to know, the devil lies in the details. Because the more I look at this, I don't like the fact that one of the negotiations that are ongoing that we talked about with the Biden administration, what they're pushing for is to make sure they don't export. So what they're saying is if you gather the information, you cannot export it to China. And we'll hold it for you here in America.
Yeah.
So to Greg's point, I don't want anybody. Why don't you just make data privacy laws across the board for Facebook, like everybody? Just make it uniform, make it fair. By the way, almost $1 trillion holdings that China has for the U.S. and our treasury bonds. So why they're not incentivized to do anything to us? Why?
Yeah, no, you're spot on. Maybe as far as data goes, take a page out of the DuckDuckGo playbook, and people will be
amen.
Far safer. All right, coming up next, Dawn will have some news to kick off hour two, and then it's bye-bye to Deadspin. Kale and Company, hour two is next.
And hello to Piazza Auto Group, and congratulations to Piazza Premium Automobiles, continuing to grow their luxury collection of brands. Right now, Piazza is so excited to welcome in these two newest members to their family of dealerships, Infiniti Ardmore, as well as Maserati of the main line, both located right there on Lancaster Avenue. You notice the way I say Maserati. These are some of the most beautiful, sleek, powerful vehicles on the roadway right now. You're going to receive the same first-class customer experience you've come to expect, of course, from the Piazza family of dealerships, including Piazza Premium Automobiles. So I'm talking about your new or your certified pre-owned Infiniti, Maserati, or other Piazza luxury brands like Jaguar, Land Rover, Mercedes-Benz, BMW. Check them out, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.